first place in their division years ago. The Fast Lane, brought to you by Schnucks on 101 ESPN.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We've got John Clayton on the line now via the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line. And, John, always a pleasure to chat with you. With Brad Thompson, I'm Anthony Stalter. So I know that the Raiders are kind of the team that is in the COVID-19 spotlight this week, with Trent Brown being sent home and then the entire offensive line, his teammates, being sent home as well. What sort of shape are the Raiders going to be in along the offensive line for the Buccaneers on Sunday?
As long as there's no more positive tests, they should be fine, because the smart thing that they did is that they put them on COVID's, I guess you could say, the quarantine on Monday. And so now with the quarantine, I mean, you have to be there for about 5 days. Now, during those 5 days, nobody tested positive, and so they came out of it. So they're going to be able to have four of the starters there. I mean, they're not sure about Trent Brown, but my guess is he's probably not going to be able to play. The interesting one is that their starting safety, Jonathan Abrams, he somehow got connected on Tuesday with Trent Brown. And so he's now not going to be able to play, because he's not going to be able to get that five-day window to be able to get back on the field. So as long as there's no more positive tests, they should be able to go.
John, I want to go back to last night. I want to go back to the Eagles eking out a victory over the Giants, and that shouldn't be something that they had to do. But I want to get your take on Carson Wentz just overall. Carson Wentz, when you think about him, where do you put him? What is he? Like, is he great? Is he okay? What is Carson Wentz?
I mean, he's really good. I think he's a top, I'd say 11 or 12 quarterback. But here's the unfair thing that goes into the thinking with him. Tell me what's around him right now. And when they finished the game, the only starter on offense that was there was Jason Kelce, the center. That's it. Four offensive linemen were gone because Lane Johnson now suffered a first-degree MCL sprain. They didn't have Miles Sanders at running back. They're down two tight ends and a two tight end offense. DeSean Jackson ended up getting a high ankle sprain. They didn't have Alshon Jeffrey. And so tell me what's left. And you can see it started bad, because in the first game he got sacked eight times. At that time they were down three starting offensive linemen. And so he got sacked eight times. I think that made him a little bit, not gun-shy, but he had happy feet. His mechanics were off. And he still didn't have the receiving core. So you look at it, I don't know, if you have a center and you have a quarterback, what can you do? That's all they had.
John Clayton's joining us right now here on 101 ESPN. John, when you look at Dwayne Haskins, and this situation with Washington is interesting. So they benched him a couple weeks ago. Then he was fined by the team for violating COVID-19 policy, because he apparently made a reservation for a family friend at a team hotel. From an outside perspective, it seems like it's a young man that doesn't really have kind of a grasp of what the organization wants from him. Could you see Washington moving on from Dwayne Haskins after
I think
year?
That it's already a foregone conclusion
for a young QB.
Yeah, I think it's a foregone conclusion. I think that if they can get a team interested in a trade before November 3rd, they make the trade in the second, and you're probably talking maybe about a fifth or a sixth round pick. I mean, it will get less than Josh Rosen, but I think you can see in Josh Rosen and Dwayne Haskins both kind of burn their bridges. And one of the reasons that Ron Rivera decided to put him third team is that the players in the team didn't think he worked hard enough. And that being the case, I mean, if he didn't bench him as poorly as he was playing, he was concerned that the locker room was going to turn on Ron Rivera, much like the Cowboys have kind of turned on Mike McCarthy. So in the end, I think you're seeing the last days of Dwayne Haskins. And, it's like they probably don't even care if he's in the building or not. I think they just want to get him moved on.
John, let's talk about that Cowboys situation, too, because this is a weird one, and it's year one for Mike McCarthy there. We know that a normal offseason wasn't there for him, right? So maybe some things are going to get some steps are going to get missed. But can this right itself? Like, can McCarthy get back to the point where he's got everybody's respect and they're on the same page, or is this inevitably just going to blow up?
Well, I mean, if you win games, it's going to be able to do it. But the problem is, what games are you winning? I mean, you can see that the they should win in the division. Now, this game coming up soon against Philadelphia is going to be key, because if they lose to Philadelphia, he's going to continue to lose the locker room. But you look at this division. They're 2-15-1 in non-division games. Only two wins outside the division. And so what you're looking at is whoever can go, whether it's Philly or Dallas, 4-2 or 5-1 in the division, they're going to win the NFC East, but it's only going to be 6 wins and 7 at the most. And that's embarrassing, because what you're looking at is that these teams, including the injured Philadelphia Eagles, can't compete against all the other teams in the league. So I guess the standards are low, but if you do go on a winning streak in the NFC East games, he'll win some things back, because at least they're thinking, okay, at least they get into the playoffs.
John, I know that we saw Ngakoue being traded from the Vikings to the Ravens. Do you anticipate any other trades that could go down before the deadline?
Yeah, I think what you need to do is look at the haves and the have-nots, okay? For example, we're already seeing that. I mean, you've got, entering last night, there was 10 teams with 1 or 0 wins, the 0 wins being the New York Jets. They're all out of it. And they're starting to recognize it. I mean, you saw Atlanta. When they went to 0-5, the owner, Arthur Blank, said, you know what, we're an 0-5, and the coach and the general manager want to, make it or break it year. Well, it's not going to make it at 0-5. Then you see Minnesota. They're 1-5. And so now they figure, okay, we got to try to get out of the mess we have. Let's get some draft choices. So they trade Ngakoue. So you look at the 10 teams, and really there's about 12 or 13 teams that are almost all but out of it right now. Particularly if you're a losing team in the NFC, you're in big trouble. So I think you're going to see those teams try to dump some contracts, and the teams that are at top, the haves, they're going to try to pick up the players.
John, a battle of unbeatens. It's Titans, it's Steelers. What's going to be the difference in this game? I mean, which way are you seeing this lean?
Well, what it's going to be is how Ryan Tannehill handles things against the blitz. Because they started out, the Steelers were blitzing 57% of the time. Now the average is about 47% of the time. It's going to hurt that they don't have Devin Bush, but how he handles the blitz, because he's been, without doubt, one of the hottest quarterbacks in the league. Not as good as Russell Wilson, maybe not as good as Aaron Rodgers, but in his 15 games, he's thrown for almost 4,000 yards, completed 69.6% of his passes, and has 35 touchdown passes, 5 fourth-quarter comebacks, and 2 game-winning drives to win late in the game. So he's been that good in his 15 starts in the regular season as a quarterback of Tennessee. Then you got Derrick Henry, who is the hottest running back in the league and the strongest running back in the league. So it's going to be an interesting matchup of the Steelers' defense trying to contain the Titans' offense, and whether those guys can continue to stay hot. I know when he's pressured, Tannehill still put up some good numbers, but his completion percentage goes down to like about 53-54%.
John, great stuff as always. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll check back with you again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks. It's John Clayton here on 101 ESPN, John Clayton of 710 ESPN in Seattle. That's the game that that's the toughest one of the competitive games. I could see the Titans and Steelers going either way. And I know, at some point I got to get off the fence here and make a decision on what play I'm going with, but that one to me is a coin flip.
Well, here's the crappy thing, Anthony, and at least you haven't done this to yourself. I have definitely painted myself into a corner with this. When I told you that the Steelers are the best team in the AFC, and I basically told you Ryan Tannehill's trash. So I think I have my lean on this game. I'm trending towards the Steelers. Could there be some flippy-floppy? Maybe. Probably not. So that's the way I'm going. I've painted myself into this corner, just like the Browns are going to win, too.
That's Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. I think the Browns are going to win this weekend as well. We'll bet the board next here on 101 ESPN.